I see stars in your eyes sometimes. With a little pain in the ocean away, those stars that be running your mind. Stuck in your brain and they won't go away. I don't have no more time. Cause these days I've been losing my mind. See stars in your eyes sometimes. See stars in your eyes sometimes.
Caught in your iris sun, then your eyelids spreading like a virus. Baby, don't you fight it. Hot with no pilot, drive with no license, making up new vices. Oh, you such a riot. Wheels hit the curb and you know they gon' scrape. I hit Breaking Bad for the last few days. I in the shade and I'm making up shapes. Waking up the middle of the night with the shakes. Holding up a grin with the bobby pin, yeah. Spreading too thin in the skin I'm in, yeah. Took it to the shins, hanging from a limb, yeah. How can I say that it's all made up? Ain't shit changed when you get a little money. After ain't nothing, don't look too sunny. Don't know where to go cause the view too muddy, yeah. Tell me if you love me.
I see stars in your eyes sometimes. With a little pain in their ocean away. Those stars that be running your mind. Stuck in your brain and they won't go away. I don't have no more time. Cause these days I've been losing my mind. See stars in your eyes sometimes. See stars in your eyes sometimes, yeah.
My head got ghosts, got ghouls, ayy. Hiding in my eyes like jewels, ayy. Losing your mind is the new way. Getting real brave, pull a quick 180, yeah. You can't be my savior. Got my tongue, won't say enough. You just testing my patience. Close my mouth and won't say shit.
Making up that we made it.
Now your voice is my favorite.
Ain't my smile for the photo.
Cause they local. Ain't shit changed when you get a little money. After ain't nothing, don't look too sunny. Don't know where to go cause the view too muddy, yeah. Tell me if you love me.
I see stars in your eyes sometimes. With a little pain in their ocean away. Those stars that be running your mind. Stay in your brain and they won't go away. I don't have no more time.
Hi there. You're listening to All Things McGill on CQT 90.3 FM. My name's Elnathan. I'm here with...
I'm Titoan.
And happy eclipse day. It's a beautiful, clear, sunny day in Montreal, perfect for viewing the full eclipse that we're going to experience later on. We have quite the show lined up today.
Exactly. I actually had a whole little speech, so you can... gave it up for me because I wanted to build up the tension and the suspense, but it's okay. I'm going to keep it, so pretend you don't know it's the eclipse day. Because today is a very special day, like we haven't seen in Montreal since 1932, and that we won't see again until 2205. So this is a really once-in-a-lifetime experience. If you haven't figured it out yet, I am, of course, talking about the total solar eclipse that is coming to turn the day dark for about a minute and a half today. It is going to be a strange experience for Montrealers, also because the Greater Montreal region is right on the border of the Path of Totality. That is the area where the total solar eclipse will be visible, which means that about 45% of Montreal, mostly North Montreal and Laval, will not get the full experience, but only a partial eclipse. With that said, important PSA, do not try to look at the eclipse without proper eclipse glasses. If you haven't managed to get your hands on such a glasses pair, there's a couple of public events happening today for the eclipse, and they will give away glasses. So, for instance, you got our beautiful university, McGill, through the Trottier Space Institute, that is having an event on the lower field on the downtown campus. There is also the Montreal Center for Science, which is also having an event with the Cirque du Soleil in the Old Port. Or there's another event at Parc Jean Drapeau at Espace 67. And for All Things McGill, to mark the occasion, we decided that we would... for today's show, revisit an interview that we did last summer on June 24, 2023, with Trevor Corgan, better known as Plateau Astro. And Trevor is an astronomy enthusiast, sharing his passion on Instagram at Plateau Astro and through different events and workshop in Montreal. So yeah, that's what we're gonna hear right now. No need for further explanation. It starts right away.
Yeah, I was also wondering, like, when you host these workshops, what is the effect? What is the, like, usual reactions that you see from people who, like, first, yeah?
Yeah, so I do a few different types of workshops. So I do Moonrise, which I kind of just described there. So that one, yeah, we go up the mountain. We get there a few minutes beforehand. And I try to, like, teach people, like, okay, what time it's going to rise. That's the obvious one. But then also tell them exactly which direction the moon is going to rise. The sun always rises in the east, generally, more or less. The moon also rises in the east, but like it sort of shifts throughout the year. And if you've ever been up to the mountain, looking over downtown, you see the buildings there. And there's been times over the years where I've like, I didn't know exactly which direction it was going to rise. So I told people, okay, it's going to rise any moment now. And then the time comes, it's a clear night, time comes, I don't see it. A minute goes by, we don't see it. 2 minutes go by, I'm starting to panic. Like, where the heck is the moon? Okay. And I realized after a few minutes, oh wait, it's rising behind the buildings. Just, I didn't know exactly like where we should be standing to go and see it. So over the last few years, I sort of understood like, oh, okay, it's going to rise just to the right of the buildings there, or it's going to rise just to the left of the buildings. So now I'm like, I'm good enough where I'm like, oh, okay, I know exactly what time it's going to rise and exactly which direction it's going to rise. And I guess even subtracting the direction thing, the reaction that people have is sort of like a, how did I not know I could do this all my life? Okay, there's kids there, and they think it's really, really cool. But the adults there are like, wait a minute, I'm like 45. I didn't know you could like plan this out, and it's free, and you don't need a telescope to do it. So just giving that like that little spark of knowledge, there's like a oh my god, I wish I knew this 30 years ago, you know. So yeah, the moon looks big when it's low on the horizon. It looks red for reasons we can totally dork out about physics. But yeah, they're just shocked. And they're shocked at how quickly it rises up. And of course, that rising up is more the Earth rotating. And so it gives people this real perspective of like how quickly the Earth is actually rotating. And I think that's more pronounced than, say, watching a sunset. Obviously, the sun is going down just because you can actually like look at the moon without blinding yourself, whereas the sun is like a little bit more dangerous to, you know, do that. So, yeah, yeah. So that's one workshop I do. I do other ones where I teach people about the sunset, and that sort of emphasize the rotation of Earth. I do another workshop where we watch the space station fly overhead. Mm-hmm. So there's been people orbiting Earth for, you know, almost 25 years at this point. And you can see it as like a bright point of light. It just looks like a really bright star moving across the sky. And sort of giving people the tools and the knowledge to like, okay, this app you use, it'll tell you what time, which direction to look, and you'll see this bright star move across the sky. It sort of makes people just feel like magicians, you know, just like being able to like understand the sky a bit better.
Yeah every time I see a constellation, I'm like, oh my god, it's a constellation. Yeah, so I imagine the awe. Mm-hmm. Do you guys feel free to chime in if you guys have
you have a question. Yeah. Okay,
where did you learn about all of this stuff? Is it Google knowledge?
It comes from, I think, this will sound, it's, I think it comes from like a place of curiosity. Mm-hmm. And like of finding out, I'll try to give an example. So the example of like, when can I find out when the moon will rise? Yep. That's like a quick Google search. Yep. Like, okay. I don't have to know any other real astronomy to figure that out. So Google is a big one. The questions you start asking start to get a little bit more complicated. It's like, okay, why is the moon red when it first comes up? That I didn't know for the first few months, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, okay, why is the moon turn red when it's low on the horizon? Oh, okay, that's a physics question. And then you start learning about properties of light and stuff. We were talking just before the show, like, did you go to school for this? Like, I did not. Mm-hmm. I it's just... I'm just an amateur astronomer, just a hobbyist. And so it's just sort of come out of me not learning a textbook or having to take exams to do this. It's really just sort of, I don't know, an average person's curiosity about the sky. And I think passing that on to people who probably had the same questions, I think is why it clicks with a lot of people. Especially the last 15 years, I think astronomy has kind of been democratized in so much as, like, you've all probably got smartphones in there, and there's definitely free apps that you can use to see what constellation you're looking at, how to find the space station and all that. That didn't exist, say, in 2002 in a real, like, I can go outside and pull my device up and look at it. You'd have to, like, be inside and prep for it. It's, like, so much easier now to get the answers, questions to the answers that you have. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's been great the last 15 years. Yeah.
And, like, I think, like, centuries ago, people would use astronomy to, like, you know, be, like, a guide for weather or time or, like, travel. I was wondering, like, with your heightened awareness of, like, the, I don't know, celestial sphere in Montreal, like, does that change how you navigate day-to-day life? And do you use it in your, like, day-to-day life?
I use GPS to get here. Obviously, it's like the morning, so I'm not going to use the stars for that. It does, however, totally... I have, like, this sort of internal compass in my brain now. Mm-hmm. Like, as we're sitting in this room, I'm like, okay, I think I'm pretty sure about this. North is, like, over here. South is over here. East, that's just, like, my brain is just sort of rewired to do that. So, you know, I'm just, like, looking at smartphone apps and Google Maps all the time. The one, I think, really practical use for stars and navigation is one certain star. Maybe people listening have also heard this, or people, you three folks here, is Polaris or the North Star. Mm-hmm. Heard this before? Okay. Basically, there's... This is awful to do over audio, but okay. So basically, we have the Earth here, and then we have the North Pole at the top. Okay. There is a star, I don't know how far away it is, but it's basically directly over the North Pole. Okay. So if you're at the North Pole, you know, you're rotating around. Okay. And if you have your head up, it basically looks like a star that doesn't move right above you. Okay. So we call it Polaris, the North Star. So if you're at the North Pole, you'd have your head straight up like that, and it would be there. If you start walking south of the North Pole, it's no longer going to be straight up above you. It's going to be lower down in the sky. And if you keep going, it's going to get lower and lower and lower and lower and lower and lower in the sky. The cool thing about this star is that if you measure the horizon and the angle that it makes to that star, you can tell how far away from the equator you are. So here in Montreal, you can see the North Star. It's a little bit hard to see, but it is visible with the naked eye. You can see it there. It's directly north. So the star is useful in telling you exactly which direction is north. It'll always, always, always be north. All the year, all time of night. You can use it for navigation on the sea and stuff. But as far as telling you how far away from the equator you are, you can find it, measure how far it is in the sky. And here in Montreal, if you measure that angle, it's 45 degrees. 45 degrees. And if you look at your latitude here in Montreal, it's 45 degrees. And so, you know, if you're a sailor or something like this and you don't have an iPhone or something like that, or you're lost at sea, you could at least tell how far north of the equator that you are. And I bring this up in my workshops and stuff like that, not for any, like, sort of practical reason. If you're lost at sea, my advice on telling you where the heck Polaris is not going to save you, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But if you are to travel to a different part of the world, if you're to travel to, say, Mexico or something like that, Mexico is more south. Mm-hmm. It's closer to the equator. So this star is going to appear lower in the sky. Okay, it's easy to find. Just look north, look for this relatively bright star there, and you're like, oh, wait, I recognize seeing that star back home, and it was higher in the sky. And now I'm here on vacation in Mexico. I'm like, it's lower in the sky. And to me, that is just like finding these little ways to teach people that, like, the Earth is round, that we're on a globe. That just gives me chills. Maybe I'm misreading my audience for the people who come to my workshops, but that's like, that is super cool to me. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure if that was your question. I kind of rambled about the North Star Polaris there, but hopefully... No, you asked the question.
Wendy did.
All right.
Wendy did.
No, that was very interesting. And that, yeah, it is really cool to me. If I ever travel somewhere, I will keep that in mind because... Yeah.
It won't work in the Southern Hemisphere.
Okay.
So if you go to Australia looking for the North Star, it's not going to help you. But yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, Northern Hemisphere.
Northern Hemisphere. Yeah.
That's really cool. Maybe we'll take a music break and then come back to talk a bit more.
Yes, 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 whatever you have for me, I'll take it gladly. You ain't ever playing about me, you ain't ever playing about me. Two, three, four.
Disability, you likely face barriers in your everyday life. At Neil Squire, we help break those barriers down by helping you access employment, technology, and the tools you need to live your life to the fullest. As a nonprofit organization, we empower people with disabilities all across Canada, and we are here for you too. Visit neilsquire.ca to learn more.
Cinema Politica invites you to the theatrical release of Silvicola starting from March 22nd, with opening weekend screenings followed by a Q&A with award-winning director Jean-Philippe Marquis. At a time when the planet's old-growth forests are threatened as never before, Jean-Philippe Marquis has crafted a dazzling and unsettling film essay on forestry practices in the Pacific Northwest, home to the world's tallest trees. Juxtaposing sublime aerial imagery with Velite workplace footage, he meets people whose livelihood is connected to the forest economy and culture, tempering a critique of neoliberal forestry practices with an up-close understanding for people who labor within the system. The opening weekend of Sylvicola will take place at the Cinémathèque Québécois and Cinéma Public, with screenings starting from Friday, March 22nd. For more information, go to cinemapolitica.org/film/Sylvicola. We hope to see you there.
God's been setting the mood right. Eye contact, fuck the view. I'll show my love to you. I don't wanna disrespect. Take my time, kiss your neck. Dot my eyes, end with an X. Hope you reply when I send that text. I'ma give it to you anytime you want. I deliver to you. Kick out the toxic, live it to you. One way train, ticket to you. Impeccable brain, need a scholarship. I'm a hound, I'm a fiend, I'm a dog. If you let me loose, don't forget where the collar is. Need a crown like a king or a god. I might take two sips and show you where the sun sets, sun rises. But nah, we ain't done yet. Go more rounds and slip on your sundress. Hotel room to the brunches. Me and babe, bottomless cocktail luncheon. Matching outfits, glares in abundance. Everyone knows that we're gonna be something.
Everyone knows.
Everyone knows that we're gonna be. Moonlight, God's been setting the mood right. Eye contact, fuck with you. I'ma show my love to you. I don't wanna disrespect. Take my time, kiss your neck. Dot my eyes, end with an X. Hope you reply when I send that text. I'ma give it to you anytime you want. I'm living my penchant. I roll with an ensemble everywhere I go, everybody knows that I do not play with niggas who don't joke. Niggas who play tough, niggas who try bluff. Soon as I duck, niggas are like, ah. moonlight. God's been setting the mood right. Eye contact, fuck with you. I'ma show my love to you. I don't wanna disrespect. Take my time, kiss your neck. Dot my eyes, end with an X. Hope you reply when I send that text. I'ma get to you anytime you want. I deliver to you. Kick out the toxic, live it to you. One way train, ticket to you. Impeccable brain, need a scholarship. I'm a hound, I'm a fiend, I'm a dog. If you let me loose, don't forget where the color is. Need a crown like a king or a god. I'ma take two sips and show you where the sun sets.
Listening to All Things McGill on CKUT 90.3. What you were just listening to was When Saturn Returns by Yaya Bay, followed by Rings of Saturn by Alana, and Moonlight by Baby Pana. Today I'm here with
Tituan, and as you can imagine, understand, and hear, we went for and with a stars, moon, space theme with the songs, and that is because of the eclipse happening today. And for the same reason, we are revisiting an interview that we did last summer with Plato Astro on all the socials, and we'll hear the second part of this interview right now. So to go back into the discussion of space and astronomy, I was wondering about light pollution and how much of an impact it has other than just not being able to see the stars.
Yeah, so Montreal is definitely a light-polluted city, and so the more lights we have in the city, the harder it is to see stars. I think that's pretty commonly well-known. The type of things that I teach aren't really affected too much by that. There's been great campaigns to like get people to reduce light pollution, different types of lighting and stuff like that, which are all fantastic. I think what one of the minor downsides is people then overestimate how much light pollution blocks out things, and they know they can like see the moon, but then they don't know they can still see other things. You can see a few stars. Okay, I think most people kind of know that, but it's kind of lost on people that you can also see planets with the naked eye, even in light-polluted Montreal. So you can see five planets with the naked eye. You can see Mercury, you can see Venus, you can see Mars, you can see Jupiter, and you can see Saturn. You don't need a telescope to see them, but obviously it is much, much better if you do have a telescope. The focus that I try to do is teaching people, it's like, no, it's like living in a city is great. Light pollution sucks, but like there is like some things you can do. And I think that sort of like lessens the barrier that people have to getting into astronomy. I think the expectation is that like to do any sort of astronomy, A, I need a telescope, and B, I need to like be in a like non-light polluted place. I need to drive like 3 hours north of the city, and like you've lost like 99.5% of the population at that point. If you can tell them, hey, wait, you're coming out of a bar on Saint Denis and there's a telescope right here and you can take a look at the rings of Saturn, which I have done before, and like that totally like flicks a light on. It's like, oh, whoa, it's like it's not something that is like totally inaccessible. You can do it right here. That being said, light pollution. Like obviously it'd be better if we had less light pollution here. There have been studies recently about like sort of the other effects of it, and like lack of good solid sleep and the type of lights that we do use in a lot of our cities now, sort of affecting sleep patterns. So it's not just like not being able to see stars in the sky. It's also other things, migration patterns of certain birds. They get confused when they're like, wait a minute, it's supposed to be getting darker because it's November and I should be flying south to a warmer place, but there's a bunch of lights here, so I guess I can just stay here. And then it gets cold, and then not so much good news for the birds. So it's also like a nature component as well.
And why is it so important to you to make astronomy accessible to urban citizens, people who live in cities?
Why is it important, man?
Or like, what keeps you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What keeps me? I could probably invent about 7 different reasons off the top of my head right now. I wish I had like a manifesto or something on my website, which feels like a very McGill thing to have, a manifesto.
All things McGill,
manifesto creation time. Yeah, to me, it's a few different things. I think, when you sort of go about in your daily life, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I have some sympathy for flat earthers. Because when you're walking around in your daily life, it's like the earth feels flat. Like me here, other than me coming up the University Road here up on that hill, it kind of feels flat all day long. And so in the flat earther brain, it's like it feels flat, therefore it is flat. Or I'm going to look for evidence that it is flat. And to me, astronomy, even though I haven't done a wide search for different topics to do this, to me, astronomy is like a great way, with enough sort of curiosity and interest in watching for long periods of time, you can sort of uncover the roundness of Earth. That, like, you can, in a way, sort of, like, innately feel how round it is. And so that comes from, like we were talking about the North Star, Polaris. I'm like, oh, okay, I've been to different places, and the star is in a different position in the sky. I'm like, okay, that makes me feel like I'm on a round place. How the sunset time varies throughout the year and in different parts of the earth. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. It sort of feels more round now. I took a trip to South Korea last year, and when we landed, I was very aware of the fact that, like, okay, if this is a globe, 12 hours ago I was standing in this direction here, but now I'm standing in this direction here. And I'm like my feet 12 hours ago were like this, you know? Like, my body would have been, like, 90 degrees horizontal to the way I'm standing now. That does not come through on radio very well, but my feet were just almost on the table there. Finding little things like that has just been, like, I don't know, the thrill for me of, like, finding ways to show people that Earth is round. Also, too, it's just, like, really cool to see, like, the rings of Saturn, like, through a telescope. Like, that is probably the moment that people gasp when they're looking through it. Because you've seen photos of Saturn. We've all seen photos. You know, you can imagine it in your mind. And then you, like, put your eye to this little metal tube and you look at it and it's like, wow, there it is. And it's like, it makes things that kind of feel theoretical into things that are very real. And you show that to them, and then you point at the little dot in the sky and they're like, what? That's Saturn? Yeah. Anyways, this manifesto brainstorming session, I could go on for a while, so maybe I'll take the next question there. Yeah.
That is insane. Do you have a question?
I have a silly question.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
How many flat earthers have you met while doing workshops?
Yeah, flat earthers almost feel like a boogeyman or a MacGuffin. It's like, they're not really real, you know? It's like, obviously there are conventions and stuff like that. So I guess there has to be some, I suppose. Not in real life. Mm. Not really that many. Mm. No, I would even say zero, honestly. Mm-hmm. Honestly. I think people have sort of accepted. Not really. Mm. But giving people the knowledge or the know-how to, like, sort of feel the roundness of Earth is, I think, good. Like we were just saying here, it's like the Earth feels flat, doesn't it? In your day-to-day life, giving people the knowledge, like, oh no, it is round, and to not just know that, but to sort of feel that, I think is really cool.
And how does, like, sunset times make you feel the Earth being more round?
Yeah.
And, like, the directions also, because...
Sure. This is definitely better represented in a visual sort of sense. So I do a workshop called Sunset Workshop. This isn't an ad, I swear. But, like, we go up to... This is, like, the best sunset spot in the city. Belvedere Outremont. Have you been there before?
I live close by, but haven't been there.
Okay. It used to be an old ski hill back in, I don't know, the 80s or 90s or something like that. And, like, last few years, they sort of cleaned it up. And so, it's like, the best sunset spot in the city. It's sort of accessible from the University of Montreal pathways. And, it has a perfect view west looking there. And so, I've done this workshop for, 3 years or so at this point. And I do them sort of scattered throughout spring and summer. So, if you do it in... say May, the sun is going to set at one point. If you do it in June, it's going to set a little bit more to the right. Okay, and then you hit June 21st, the summer solstice, and it's at its most northwest or the most right. And then you come back in like July, and it goes a little bit more to the left. And then in August, a little bit more to the left, a little bit more west. And then you do it like in September, October, and you're like, oh, it's setting to the left of that one tree that we saw a few months ago. And I think doing this sort of over the last few years, and you do a few every year, you can like really start to notice the sunset direction changes a lot. At this point, this is where it gets into a more visual thing, where it's like, okay, you have the Earth and it's tilted a little bit, and as it goes around the sun, you can kind of understand why. So I won't kind of get into that, because hearing me talk about that in audio form probably won't be the best description. Showing people that during the workshop, especially if they come to that workshop multiple times, it kind of really starts to click for them. It's like, oh, okay, that is why the sunset time changes, but also the sunset direction changes. So if you really want the answer... Now this is turning into an ad. You should come to Sunset Workshop, plateauash.com/workshops. Yep.
I was going to tell people that the next one is this Thursday, I think, at Park the Pelican.
Yep. So the company's called Plateau Astro because guess where I used to live, which neighborhood?
Plateau.
I have now moved to Rosemont, but I've decided to not change the name because Rosemont Astro? No, doesn't rhyme, doesn't sound cool, so it'll just forever be called Plateau Astro. So this Thursday, it's an intro to astronomy workshop. So really, this is talking about teaching people how to use free astronomy apps, how to sort of know which direction in the sky the sun, the moon, the planets kind of all situated are. Give you sort of some context there. How to use a telescope, really crash course, set it up here, point the tube this way, put the eyepiece in, look at it. So we're going to look at the moon, we'll look at Venus, and then we're going to see the space station fly overhead. It's a cosmic buffet, if you ask me. It's just, it's c'est plein. It's very full of a bunch of stuff. So yeah.
And I know you also like teach kids about astronomy, and I feel like I associate astronomy with like childhood. So, and I feel like I think like a lot of adults kind of they forget about it, or it's not a big part of their lives anymore. And I was just wondering why you think that is, or if you have any thoughts.
Yeah, what do I think that is? I mean, we probably get taught a lot of stuff that just slurps out of our brain. I couldn't tell you what mitochondria is exactly.
That is true.
I don't know. Why does it slip out? I think, finding a practical application of that knowledge, I think sort of could help keep it in there. And like we were talking about before about smartphones and tablets and stuff like that. It's like now way easier than ever to like get a free app and like be able to apply that knowledge outdoors right in front of you, rather than have like a sort of a flat textbook with images and stuff like that, but then you can't see it in the dark and stuff like that. There's like a really, really, really great chance now to like apply that knowledge in real time. So maybe that's just sort of a function of the inability to apply it, and it's sort of fallen out. I do workshops for kids, or activities for kids. And so the kids are like super, super into it. Like, it's like dinosaurs. It's like teaching on easy mode. It's a cheat code, you know? Like, they're just fascinated by it. Probably in the same way that, like, when I saw that Apollo 13 clip of, like, the helmet just, like, floating right in front of them without touching, I'm like, what is going on? And there's just, like, this natural curiosity to it that I think maybe mitochondria are just, like, so abstract that it's, like, hard to... I'm sure there's kids who are into microorganisms, I'm sure. It's much, much easier now to sort of apply that knowledge.
Like, speaking of smartphones, I think it's like, it's really easy to also just use Google Maps and go anywhere and to kind of rely on it to like navigate through the world. And I feel like I have a really bad sense of direction, so I feel like astronomy is cool in that you have like a sense of agency and like feeling where you are in the world, which is cool. So
Maybe just to give like a practical example. So after this, I got to go teach some kids, and the activity we're going to do, this is not really astronomy, direct astronomy, but it sort of helps with like direction and things. There's this app we use called Sky Tracker 24, whatever it is. It's a plane tracker.
Okay.
And basically it shows you a map of like all the planes that are like in the sky right now over the world. And there's just tens of thousands of them. I couldn't tell you. But basically during the activity, and these are like, I don't know, 8-year-old kids to 12-year-old kids, we like zoom in and we look at what planes are like kind of over the Montreal, Quebec area. And we'll sort of see them on the map there. And then you can tap on it. You can see what city it's coming from. And if it's going to be landing in Montreal, and like, okay, what direction is it coming from? So we kind of like do like a bit of a scavenger hunt with it. So like, okay, there's a flight coming in from JFK or LaGuardia, New York Airport, and it's gonna be coming from this direction over there in about 3 minutes. And so we'll have the kids like, oh, okay, it's coming, and they'll like look over there, and then it'll come around the building, they're like, oh my god, there's a plane coming from New York right now, we can see it with our eyes. Like, whereas before, if they just saw a plane in the sky, they'd be like, oh, it's a plane, like whatever. But they can like see it on the map and where it's coming from. They know information about it. How the heck would you do that 15, 20 years ago? Even like 10 years ago, I'm not really sure. Just like with, you know, open data and publishing of where all these planes are and stuff like that. That's a plane example, but we also do stuff with, you know, stars and planets and stuff like that. And so, hopefully that's like a real world sort of example, how you get sort of thrill kids interested in sort of mundane things, I suppose. Yeah.
Lame kids into mundane things.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
It's really cool. Like, I know this app, and I started using it for very practical reasons, like to know if there is a delay or anything, but I caught myself like going through the app when I see a plane coming above my head, and I'm like, what is happening? Because I know this knowledge is just right there on my phone, and yeah, it's like, it's interesting, and since there's such an easy access to it, to the information, yeah, it's like, why wouldn't I go for it and just give a little surprise to myself, or you know.
Yeah, why did you first start using it? You said because the plane is delayed or something like that?
Yeah, exactly, because you can, like, if my family was visiting or whatever, like, I can search their plane, and it's going to tell me very quickly if there's a delay or anything, and yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. For me, I also found it helped with my fear of flying a little bit. We had to do a big trip, as I said before, like to South Korea, and it was like the first flight after COVID's still going on, but during COVID, I suppose. So it'd been a few years, and like my brain was just wired at that point of being like, okay, how high are we? What is 40,000 feet? And like, oh my god, that's like 12 kilometers high, and like how big is 12? Anyways, getting a sense of like when you're seeing a plane go overhead and you're like, that looks really high, and then you tap on like, okay, yeah, it's 26,000 feet in the air. And then you look at other ones like, okay, that just took off and that's 3,000 feet in the air. So like when I'm like, I'm not sure if this is actually helping. It's probably just instilling more fear in me, knowing like all these numbers. How high is 30,000 feet? Oh, gosh. But yeah, it's just like a really cool curiosity chaser. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Are there other common apps you use for, yeah?
Astronomy? Yeah, I get this question all the time. So yeah, I always try to tell people like the best sort of free app. So for astronomy, I recommend an app called Stellaria Mobile. It's free on Android, iOS, sort of gives you an overview of what you can see in the sky. So if you want to find where the moon is, where the sun is, what constellations and stuff are in there. A really cool feature of that is that you can like change sky cultures. Oh. So we have like the Western sky cultures here. So if like, you know, Scorpio, mm-hmm. Cancer, the Big Bear, mm-hmm. all of those. Those are all sort of Western ones that we came from, like, mm-hmm. Rome and Greece and stuff like that. But you can totally change it to like a Chinese mm-hmm. constellations, or like a Hindu, or like Inuit, which is really cool. Kids just, I think at this, the age I am, they just assume that's just like one constellation map. But then you change the constellations on them, like, oh, the Inuit one have like a totally different frame of reference. Like, yeah, yeah, because they had a different culture. They had different like things that were important to them back then. This is where Trevor gets rambly, and he should probably stay focused. Okay, so Stellaria Mobile is great. ISS Detector, another free one that's great for knowing when the space station will fly over. If you want to feel like a magician and you want to like show your friends, okay, a bright star is going to like move across the sky. It's really cool to do that one. So ISS Detector. Solar Walk Light is a good sort of like, you sort of zoom out and you can see the solar system. And you see the sun, the planets, stuff like that, and you can change the time to see like how quickly the planets go around. And that to me is kind of good for showing people like, okay, we see the sun here in the sky, and then we can see Venus here and Jupiter here. Okay, if we zoom out, what does that look like from a solar system bird's eye view of it? And I found that really useful. And then Flight Radar 24, I think, is the one. Is also free with some ridiculous ads in it, but whatever. So, yeah.
Cool. Thank you for the list.
Yeah.
Listeners, take notes.
Yeah.
I think we're almost out of time, but does anyone have any more questions? I had one more silly one also. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite celestial sighting?
Okay. This is a failed celestial sighting, but I'll mention it. So, and actually a teaser for what's coming up in the next few months here. So in 2008, I went up to Nunavut to go and see a total solar eclipse. So this is where the moon blocks out the sun. It was a lot of money. It was expensive to get up there. And it was cloudy. So I couldn't see it. In 2017, I went to Nashville to go and see it. And it was clear all morning. And then 10-15 minutes beforehand, a cloud got in the way and it blocked the view. In October this year, October 13th, I want to say, it's a Saturday, we're going to see a partial solar eclipse here in Montreal. So it should be in the middle of the day, I believe, if I got to check that. Basically, you'll see the sun and then the moon will block out about maybe 20% of it here. I sell eclipse glasses. If you want eclipse glasses, platchash.com/shop. Anyways, so that'll be really cool. The big one that's coming up, though, is April 8th, 2024. So this is where it'll be a total solar eclipse. The moon will totally block out the sun at 3:30 in the afternoon. So if it's clear, awesome. Awesome. It'll the sky will get dark. You'll be able to take the eclipse glasses off. You'll be able to see the sun blocked out. It's going to be bonkers here. If it's cloudy, it's still going to be very, very cool because the sun is completely blocked out. And so about 5 minutes beforehand, about 5 minutes after, it's going to be completely dark. It's going to be nighttime. here in Montreal in the middle of the day. So it's just going to be very, very, very strange. I think the city of Montreal has to be like, I'm not really hearing what their sort of plan is, because like the eclipse doesn't cover the entire city. Mm-hmm. It kind of splits the city in half, maybe a third, something like that. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get a bunch of traffic coming from Laval into Montreal. It's Monday at 3:30 p.m. when the schools are out. What's the plan? Are people going to be in the metro while this majestic thing is going on? I don't know. So I think the city of Montreal has to start doing some real major planning for it. But you guys know now.
You heard it here first.
Yes.
I hope they take the message.
Yep.
To plan ahead.
Yep.
But that's all the time we have today, unfortunately. But thank you so much, Trevor, for coming in. It was so fun talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. So we're going to say goodbye. Thank you for listening. This is Wendy.
I am T-Tone.
Sai.
And Trevor.
And Trevor.
Okay, talk to you guys next week.
Thanks to everyone who donated to CKUT's annual funding drive. Your generosity truly helps keep our engines burning. It's never too late to donate. You can do so by calling 514-907-9424 or going to ckut.ca and hit the green Make a Pledge button at the top. All paid entries will be entered into a grand prize draw. You can pay your pledge and pick up your gift weekdays between 11 to 6 p.m. or by appointments. Call 514-907-9424. Thank you.
Not what I got.
You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and on CKUT.ca on the web. This is All Things Miguel. I am T-Twan.
And I'm Elnathan.
And yeah, that's about it for today. We heard a great interview with Trevor from Plateau Astro. Today is once again Eclipse Day. So yeah, have a good watching the eclipse moment. It's going to be memorable. The sun is here, so the sun won't be here. It is a very clear day. It's, it's going to be great. And we're going to continue with our playlist of songs around the theme of space and planets right now. All right. Have a good week, everyone. This was All Things Miguel.
Said for peace. Slide in between my eyes. I'm completely yours when you lay me down. Lay me down tonight. I lost my head thinking how you make it feel just so fucking good. And under this black moon, take me as I am, as I stand in front of you.
Talk to you, talk to you, talk to you. looking at the moon, thinking, can you see it?
Hi, my guys, gals, and non-binary pals. This is Michelle. I'm taking over today for World Skip the Beat. We're just gonna get situated and then play some fun tunes. But you are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. As of lately, I've been wondering, happy Eclipse Day. It's a good day. It's pretty outside. It's warm. The sun is gonna go away. And Bella is gonna either pick Edward or Jacob, and it's gonna be a great day. Stay tuned for Breaking Dawn later. I think it'll be funny, but I can't tell if anybody's laughing. So enjoy the rest of this song, and then we'll begin with our program. Okay, bye.